This maimer was recited by the Rebbe on this very day. It was a Shabbos, Chof Elul, in the year Tavshim and Malef, which would correspond to 1981. It's based on the verses which are found smack in the middle of the Parsha. Hayem hazeh Hashem elikecha mitzav chalases. This is the day, or on this very day, Hashem commands you to do. Umrevur b'lekut ha-teira b'dibra maschal zeh. The Alter Rebbe's memorim l'kut ha-teira, under this beginning, under this what's called koteret, this opening, Alter Rebbe explains what it says, the words hayom hazeh, shehayom hazeh, that this day, hayom, the word yom, which means day, with a hey, with a hey hayidia, which means like a the in English, the day, that refers hu reish hashana, that this, not literally, but by extension, and on a euphemistic or parabolic level, refers to Rosh Hashanah. So that's Hayom Hazeh. That it's alluding to Rosh Hashanah. Dehine, Mikra Zeh Mechubar L'Parsha Shalomayla. This pasuk, although it's the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu entering the Jewish people into the covenant, it is still linked to the parsha that precedes it. Hamedaberes b'chnisa la'aretz, which speaks about entering into the land of Israel. The inyan haknisa la'aretz b'shana hu reish hashana. The idea of entering into Eretz Yisrael within the dimension of time, the parallel is Rosh Hashanah. U'beteira hi b'chinas teira shebal peh. And in Torah, there would be the dimension of the oral tradition. All right, now it sounds kind of confusing. So what is Alter Rebbe saying here? Basically, there are different levels of reality. For example, we talk about time, we talk about space. Time and space are two different realities. Time is not something which you can physically touch. And even when you're standing in one space, the time is passing by. So we could have a reality or something like special within the framework of time, and there would be a parallel within the framework of space. So here the Alter Rebbe is saying that Eretz Yisrael represents the loftiest kind of terrain within space. So space represents the six-dimensional reality from the stratosphere all the way down to the atmosphere and down to planet Earth. And there's dry land, and there's oceanic bodies. And within the entire stratosphere of what we call space, Eretz Yisrael, that's the most profound and most powerful iota or a detail of space. And then within time, there's a lot of time. Time is cyclical. Time goes, it's a cycle, starts with Rosh Hashanah, goes all the way around, and then comes back to Rosh Hashanah. But we say that this day is Reish Hashanah, it's the head of the year, which is the metaphor of a head, that it's the brain is very sensitive and it controls the entire body. So Rosh Hashanah is a very sensitive piece of time. It's a chunk or increment of time which has an effect on the entire year. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah is a special day. If you want to talk about Hayom, Hayom could be like the space within time or the increment of time, the day. That's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So in time, it's Rosh Hashanah. In space, it's Eretz Yisrael. And in Torah, which is another level of reality, a level of reality of that which does not change, a level of reality of that which cannot be confined to a particular space, a level of reality which transcends and is beyond the nature of either of time or space or creation altogether. So within Torah, that's the idea of Torah Shabbat. That's the opening vowel. V'inyinu. The inyan is like this. Sorry, no copies today. Apologies. Hine gimel nyanim elu. These three ideas. The concept of Eretz Yisrael. A special space. Reish Hashanah. A special time. Torah Shebaal Peh. The oral tradition of Torah. Which is a special framework within Torah. So besfides, when we talk about them, through a spherotic prism, They're kshurim im sfiras hamalchus. They're connected to the last of the sfiras, the sfira which is known as monarchy, or regality, or kingship. So that means that just like there is a difference between time and space, and time and space is what the physical terrestrial reality is made of. You cannot escape time. You cannot be in a timeless zone. Time is always marching on. You cannot be in a spaceless zone. You're always taking up space. You're here, not there. So that's the reality. The world Hashem created, this time and space. So just like there's time and space, there's a spiritual world. And the spiritual world is called the Sfiris, the Esa Sfiris, the 10 spheres, or the 10 different dimensions through which Hashem creates reality. And those 10 different dimensions will also have a particular, each attribute or each divine dimension will be connected to a certain realm or a certain rung within the rubric of existence. So if I'm going to say that Eretz Yisrael, that the terrain of the land of Israel, is the most special piece of geography, and it's the most special iota within the framework of space, and if I am to say that Rosh Hashanah is the most special or unique increment within time, it's like time. It starts here, it ends here. It's an increment of time. So that increment of time that starts here and ends here, this is the most special increment of time, or the most special frame of time. Think about it like a film strip. Each frame represents a moment. So that's how every day takes up, so to speak, a frame or a moment, or every day is a frame comprised of many smaller frames of hours and of minutes. So this also has to have a parallel within the spheres. So within the spherotic reality, is it Chachma, is it Bina, is it Das, is it Chesed, is it Gvura, what is it? What does it represent? So the Rebbe says that if you look at it through a spherotic prism, then the sphera that this would identify with is the sphera of Malchus. Where do we see that? Says the Rebbe, the Rosh Hashanah is Binyan HaMalchus. That's how, when we speak about Rosh Hashanah in spiritual parlance, we talk about Rosh Hashanah is the day of, quote, building royalty. When, so to speak, we build Hashem's monarchy. So essentially, God creates a world. And after God finishes creating a world, God is the master of the universe. But there's nobody that recognizes it, because the animals have no intelligence, and no person is yet created. And finally, God then creates Adam HaRishon. So when Adam HaRishon is created, since he has God consciousness, and since he has an awareness, he is able to complete and bring fruition to creation. And then he, in turn, tries to inform and impress upon the rest of creation that there is a God, and that he recognizes there's a God. And that notion that Adam HaRishon recognized, there's a God that's called Binyan HaMalchus. So each and every single year, when it comes the sixth day of creation, we call that Rosh Hashanah. And just like Adam HaRishon recognized the supremacy of God, and he was able to in some way convey that to all of creation, he brought all of creation into this awareness. So it is also every year on Rosh Hashanah, we're supposed to recognize God. We're supposed to recognize him. And therefore the emphasis in all of our tefillos is Melech. Malchus, Hamelech HaKadosh, and many other examples like that. And the concept of Tkiya Shefer is directly linked to Binyan HaMalchus. On a very superficial level, this idea that when a king is coronated, trumpets are sounded. And then, of course, it gets much, much deeper than that, that the Shefer represents the organic or essential call, and that call out to Hashem elicits or brings forth a desire for Hashem to be our king.
He said he created people so
obviously, that's ridiculous to say that God created people so that he won't be lonely.
That's what I just heard you say.
No, it's not what you heard me say. No, that you heard. It's not what I said. If I said that God that needed friends, and then when Adam HaRishon was created, then he had friends, then you would have a question, why does God need friends? But what I did say is that God wants to be king. In order for God to be king, somebody has to recognize that he's king. So the king is on a much, much loftier level than the rest of the citizenry. And the king's citizenry is not comprised of bankers and professors. The citizens of the nation, the simple citizens who number the vast majority, that's who makes up the king. The coronation is not an event where you invite only the friends of the king. One could argue that over friends you cannot even be really a king. There's a vast gulf, an unbridgeable difference between the greatness of the king, or at least there should be, and between the rest of the nation. So the nation has the ability to inspire within the king a desire to rule over them, to be their benevolent ruler. And they have a loving relationship with their benevolent ruler. Now, you're going to come back to me and say, okay, so God wasn't looking for a friend, but God needed to be a king, and that is equally ridiculous. I don't know if it's equally ridiculous, but it is beyond our understanding, actually. Why does God need to be a king over mortals? Why does he need to be king over finite beings when God is infinite? That's a very good question. And that, ultimately, we don't have a very good answer for. The answer is, that's how it is. Why does God need anything we do? Why does he need your mitzvahs? Why does he need your Torah study? I don't know. Why does he need the karbanot? The answer is nisavalai. God had a desire. What does that mean? You understand your own desires? No. So how are you going to understand God's desires? Understand?
Yeah, but I don't think the mitzvah is necessarily for God or for us.
The mitzvah is for us, but if God doesn't need it, then we are wasting our time. How could you say that you're bringing something to God that's meaningful if God doesn't need it? The whole point of doing a mitzvah is that Hashem says it's special to me. That in a few minutes when we finish learning this mimer, that you can roll your sleeve up and put on tefillin, God says that's special to me. So come to a person who has 65,000 cups of coffee in front of him and bring him another cup of coffee. He's like, oh, thank you very much. I'm really going to like drink that cup. You didn't give him anything. So you can't feel good about yourself. But if there's a very great person and you're a very, very small child and you, the person needed a coffee because, you know, it's like 6:30 in the morning and I'm knocked out, I need a coffee, I need to wake up. And the little child brought the coffee, now the king has a relationship with that child. Why? Wow. He's the one who brought him the coffee. He did something for him. And that's the metaphor of a mitzvah. We do something for the king. We're doing something for Hashem.
I think but, that's my agenda for the day.
I can't give a shir as to why you do mitzvahs. That's not. This,
no, I'm just saying.
Here's why we should do mitzvahs. We should do mitzvahs because Hashem commanded us to do those mitzvahs, and we necessarily believe that those mitzvahs are meaningful to Hashem. That's why they're meaningful. If they wouldn't be meaningful to Hashem, if they're meaningless to Hashem, then why is it meaningful for anybody? The only reason it's meaningful for anybody is because Hashem says it is meaningful for me. The question could be asked: why is it meaningful for Hashem? Okay, this is that goes to the idea of the concept of Nisaba. But in truth, we digress. So let's return to the Maimer. So that's the idea of Rosh Hashanah, the idea of Binyan HaMalchus. Va'al derech zeh, similarly, when we talk about Torah Shebal Peh, that Torah Shebal Peh, that the oral Torah, literally Baal Peh, which references the mouth, the Torah that you speak of, rather than the Torah that is inscribed, that's also Bechinas Malchus. Lefi Shabahu Gilui Ritzaynish Lakadosh Baruch Hu. This is really fascinating. Listen to this. Teira Shabal Peh, the oral tradition, the oral element of Teira, that's Malchus. That's the royalty of Hashem. Because within it is revealed the true will of Hashem. What's called, in the language of Kehelas, Dvar Melech Shultan. The word of the king, or Shultan, the word of the king is rule. King's word is rule. What he says is the rule. That's it. Because the king said it, that's law. That's the law we follow. Now, you're all very wise people and you learn lots of scripture. Is there any detail, even a single detail of scripture, which you can actually carry out in the concrete without Torah Shebaal Peh? And if you say yes, I'm going to ask you to tell me which thing it is. Tell me a single mitzvah that you can actually do. In other words, a single idea in Torah that can actually be carried out literally without the oral Torah. Take any mitzvah. Take Shabbos. It says you remember Shabbos. It says you should keep the Shabbos. Keep it in a box. Was enough to remember the Alamo, remember the Shabbos. Now let's go on. What does it mean? What does it mean to remember Shabbos? It's filling. Oh, put signs in frontlets. What are frontlets? Stamp your head? What does it mean? Put a stop sign on you? What does it mean? It says eat matzah. What's matzah? When should I eat the matzah? Be'erev. When is that? How much matzah? Take any mitzvah, any idea in the Torah, even ideas which are more or less explicit. You cannot do any of those mitzvahs without the oral tradition. So without the Torah Shebaal Peh, there is nothing on a practical level. It's all theoretical. It's gewaldike, beautiful, wonderful, fascinating stuff. Nothing to do with reality. Nothing to do with the real world. But believing in Hashem, what are you supposed to believe in?
One God.
What does that mean, one God? What does it mean? How do you define it? Without Torah Shebaal Peh, I don't know what I'm supposed to believe in. I don't know where I'm supposed to believe in. So the idea of mitzvahs is Torah Shebaal Peh gufa gilui ratzon ha'elyon. In Torah Shebaal Peh itself, Hashem's will is not revealed in the pilpul shabbat, in the discussion, in the jurisprudence of Torah. It's not revealed in the back and forth, the discussion of the Talmud. Rather, it's revealed in the conclusion that we reach. That discussion is vital, and it brings us to a conclusion. The bazei yochalies elu v'elu divrei elikim chayim. When it comes to the ideas of Torah, the jurisprudence of Torah, so we can have one idea, and then we can have another a different approach, a different dimension or idea, and we say both of these are the words of the living God. They're both meaningful. They're both relevant, but they're opposite. Yeah, that's true. But they're all Torah theories. Ve'ein yodim eich lases ha-mitzvah v'pel. We don't know how to actually do the mitzvah. So where do you know how to actually do the mitzvah? Dafke b'chelek ha-halacha. Only in the realm of halacha. Halacha is bottom line. What's the ruling? What's the law? What exactly does Hashem want from us? And only halacha could tell us exactly what Hashem wants from us. Otherwise, it remains in the realm of the theoretical. Like the Alter Rebbe says in the Yigeres HaKedesh, in the Bir, in the explanation of the Maimon HaZal, we have a Gemara Megillah where Chazal tell us, Kol Hashena Halachas, anybody who studies Halacha B'chol Yim every day, Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Elam Haba, he is assured that he will have a portion in the world to come. Not just a Chelek, but he's a Ben. He's a son of Elam Haba. He's a master of Elam Haba. Big difference. L'fisha Daf Ka'al Yidei HaHalacha. L'maisa, specifically through the concept of practical Halacha, what's called halacha lemaisa, halacha in the realm of action, mizgala ratzon ha'elyon. That's where the ratzon ha'elyon, that's where the supern and divine will is revealed. Vizehu inyan sfiras hamalchus. This is the concept of the sfira, the dimension of malchus. Shekshura, that malchus is always connected to maisa bepoel. The king is not a king in theory. In theory, he's whatever you want him to be. But he's not a king. The king is a king in practice. The king is the person who can give commandments. The king is the person by whose words the country has to function. So if a person is royal in nature and elegant and remarkable and beautiful and all these wonderful things, but practically speaking, he has no bearing on what goes on, and he certainly has no influence on the nation or on the citizenry, then he's not a king or a queen. That's not malchus. Malchus means that the commands are issued and that the people follow through. So when maisa b'poel, practical action, that's always the realm of malchus. V'al derech zeh, and so it is also, gam b'knisa l'aretz Yisrael kipshutei, the idea of going into Eretz Yisrael. The shleimus kiyum ha-mitzvahs, where can mitzvahs be fulfilled in their fullest sense? The Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Why? We cannot compare the way mitzvahs are fulfilled in Canada to the way mitzvahs are fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Ba'asher, whereas, Tomid eini havaya lekechaba. Eretz Yisrael is a place where God, so to speak, plays close attention to. God is more involved, if you will. Mereshis hashana v'ad achas shana, from beginning to the year till the end of the year, at which time God, so to speak, removes himself and then he re-engages with the world. A new software is issued. Hainu, that is, the neisel v'zesh yesh mitzvahs atluyis ba'aretz. Rebbe clarifies, he qualifies here. We're not just talking about the fact that there are some mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in the land of Eretz Yisrael, like the mitzvah of Truma or the mitzvah of Maiser, which are various tithes that are given from produce or grain or fruits that are grown in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, ki yumen hurak be'Eretz Yisrael. Only when you have a land of holiness can the grain and produce be somewhat holy, that if you separate a little of it, that you're able to create this holiness. But actually, gam b'shar ha-mitzvahs, also as other mitzvahs, shleimus ki yumen, the completeness of their being fulfilled is when that mitzvah is fulfilled be'eretz Yisrael dafka. What are we doing here? If we would have a chance to finish this mimer, we would actually be able to explain what we're doing here, because the mimer explains how the ultimate goal is to take darkness and turn it into light. And the real darkness is found right here. I should point out to you, though, on a halachic level, many of the Bali HaTosfos did not believe that Eretz Yisrael today is Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's the geography of where Eretz Yisrael was and will be. But it doesn't have the halacha of Eretz Yisrael, they held. Because Eretz Yisrael is only Eretz Yisrael when kol yeshveha aleha, when all of her dwellers are upon her. In other words, the electromagnet isn't live. It could be, it should be, it will be, but it isn't right now. So it's not at all pashut that mitzvahs that are performed today's day and age are the mitzvahs that we're talking about b'shleimus, and it is with certainty that mitzvahs done today, even in Eretz Yisrael, are not called mitzvahs tzeinecha. Those are not mitzvahs that are done in perfect fashion. Plus, you need the base of Migdash, which again goes back to the idea of there's certain mitzvahs that technically can be fulfilled. But the Rebbe is adding here that even mitzvahs that can be fulfilled, it's very different the way you fulfill them in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. And last but not least, if mitzvahs are more meaningful in Eretz Yisrael, averus are more egregious and damning in Eretz Yisrael. And that's another thing to think about. If you're not planning to learn Torah to do mitzvahs, it's better to do that outside of Eretz Yisrael than do that in Eretz Yisrael. It's not pashut at all. This is not simple at all. We tend to think of it simplistically, but it's not as simplistic as we think. Ukameshakosov, like it says on the Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Hatsivi Lechotzi Yoinim, make for me demarcation, signs. So the explanation that's brought down in the Sifri, which is quoted at length by the Eretz Chaim in Parshas Ekev, the Sifri says that the Shleimus, pardon me, the mitzvahs Ata, mitzvahs performed today in the time of Golos, Himrak Tziyunim, V'simonim la'mitzvahs l'asad lavi. They are only a pale shadow, a pale example. It's not the real thing. It's not the real mitzvah. The mitzvah is an example of the mitzvah. It's not the real mitzvah. The real mitzvah will be performed when Mashiach will come. So you ask the question, why should I do mitzvahs today altogether? The Sifri says something shocking. So that when Yiddishkeit comes back to what it's supposed to be, it won't be a surprise to you. You'll be familiar. So almost like the mitzvahs of today don't have meaning. Of course, we know they do have meaning. But the meaning of a mitzvah today is not nearly as meaningful as it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So we go through the motions, which is the meaning of Hatsiv L'Chatsivenim, go through the motions. But going through the motions is not the same as a mitzvah that's performed in the real sense. Just like in the first Beis HaMikdash, the korbanos were vastly different than in the second Beis HaMikdash, even though the same korbanos were brought. But in the first Beis HaMikdash, you were actualizing the presence of God. They actually felt and saw the presence of Shekhinah. Second Beis HaMikdash was functional. It went through the motions. It's a halachic Beis HaMikdash. It was not that spiritual, theoretical Beis HaMikdash like we had in the first time. Because the Shleimos is b'haknisa le'eretz Yisrael de'lo asid lavai, the futuristic Eretz Yisrael. Hine v'hu mishum, that's because she'az yokol le'inyanim sheba'ilu matachas ha'shleimos. Now everything is incomplete, because now everything is incomplete. So because it's incomplete, so everything we do is incomplete. It's like a person who is functioning on 10% of the oxygen that he intake that he needs. There are people like that, Nebuch, have lung disease. They're functioning on a small, very small level, but they have blood disease. They're functioning on a 10 or 15% amount of the hemoglobin that they actually need, where their heart is pumping very, very slowly. So they're going through life, but they're not functioning the same way. Their level of functionality is vastly diminished because their health is not there. When the world is not in a perfect state, it is now. So nothing functions normally. Everything functions at half-mast. We're going through motions. We're not living life fully. Therefore, gam kiyum ha-mitzvahs yibishlemus. The mitzvahs will be perfect, lasid lavei, and that will be in a way of tiya komu lachtecha asuya. All of the work will be done, so to speak, which is kind of like the difference of Shabbos and the rest of the week. As it says, with regard to Mashiach, the prophet Yeshayahu says, "Va'amdu zarim v'ro'u tzeinchem." Strangers will rise up, take care of your sheep. They'll say, go to Shul, go daven, go learn Torah. We'll take care of the sheep. You don't need to deal with the sheep. So this is just the first opening volume of the Mimer. Unfortunately, we're out of time. What is the point of this Mimer? What is the point just of the opening thing? What did we learn? We learned this idea of Hayoyim Hazeh, that Hayoyim refers to Rosh Hashanah. We identified the concept of that it follows in the Pasuk after going into Eretz Yisrael, And we said that this is linked, Alter Rebbe said, on a literal and a mystical level, that these are linked to three things which are all in their each in their own world. They're the same in their world. So in time, it's Rosh Hashanah. In space, it's Eretz Yisrael. In Torah, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rebbe explained to us how, spherotically speaking, these are all parallels of Midas HaMalchus. We explained how Malchus expresses itself in each and every one of these things. Rosh Hashanah is Binyan HaMalchus. Torah Shebaal Peh is Torah practical, made practical, which is the example of Malchus. And Eretz Yisrael is when Hashem's Malchus, or the mitzvahs, are going to become fully meaningful. So therefore, that also represents the Sfira of Malchus. And the Maamar, the Rebbe goes on to say that the perfection of all this will be when Mashiach will come in Eretz Hashem. He goes on to say that the world was created for this in the very beginning, which is the meaning of the Bereshis Bar Elikim, that this perfection was encoded within the reality of world from the very beginning. So it's not something strange or alien. It's revealing what the world is really all about. And then we go into questions like, so what are we doing here? And why is this? Why? And we talk about a very interesting conjunction that a certain pasuk spells out the name of Yudke Vavke. And the question is, why does Hashem's name appear spelled out in conjunctive form within certain words which speak not about a perfect reality? And the ultimate thrust of the Maamar is that our present mandate is to turn darkness into light. And when we turn darkness into light, then everything will be in Eretz Hashem as it should be. And that's a little vignette / snippet of the Maamar on Parshas Kisoho. L'chaim, everybody.